So what I'm going to be talking about for this session is going to be InfoPath 2010 and SharePoint Designer 2010. Those of you who have come to the other sessions before, hear me talk about them, you know that I'm passionate about both of these products, right? And specifically, we're going to be talking about how you can manage SharePoint list forms in 2010 using these products. The way I think about SharePoint Designer and InfoPath, at least in my mind, it's like peanut butter and chocolate. You know, SharePoint Designer being peanut butter, InfoPath being chocolate. And you put them together, you get an awesome combination. What do you get? Like Reese's Pieces? You get something good. Yeah, something really tasty. Anyway, so these are the applications that I use the most within SharePoint. Even 2007, I've used it quite a bit, and now in 2010, I use them quite a lot more. And you'll see that they both have awesome value in what they do. But then there's some overlap as well. Like this one, you can manage SharePoint list forms using InfoPath. You can manage it using SharePoint Designer. Which one do you choose? Well, InfoPath way of modifying SharePoint list forms is brand new in 2010. You couldn't do that in 2007. So I'll show you how you can do that. I'll show you the old way of modifying SharePoint list forms in SharePoint Designer 2010 in this case, and then we'll talk about some trade-offs and some pros and cons for each method. All right? Just a little bit about who I am, those of you who have not been to another session before. My name is Asif Rahmani. Once again, that's right there. And this is my email address, asif@sharepointelearning.com. SharePoint Server MVP and a Microsoft Certified Trainer. I'm out of Chicago, by the way. Home of Chicago Bears. Anybody in Chicago? No. You got anybody to follow American football? Nobody? Nobody at all? Come on, I follow soccer a little bit. You should. Why not? What's wrong with that? Anyway, Chicago Bears are on a winning streak right now, our team, so I'm pretty psyched about that. I'm a contributor, a principal contributor at SharePointVideos.com. Over there, we produce videos on SharePoint, all the browser functionality, SharePoint Designer, and InfoPath, obviously, both for 2007 products and also for 2010 products. And currently, we have 213 videos out there, almost all of them purely demos, purely instructional material, and not much PowerPoint at all. I'm not a big fan of PowerPoint, honestly. And as far as SharePoint 2010 is concerned, for in-class and webcast training, I do it through Critical Path Training. That's criticalpathtraining.com. If you have any SharePoint 2010 training needs, let us know. Authored a 2008 book on, they came out in 2008, SharePoint Designer 2007. And now we are done with SharePoint Designer 2010 book. That's going to come out in about a month. And I also speak at many conferences, including had the pleasure to speak at the SharePoint Connections Netherlands twice now, one in January in Amsterdam, and then now here. Great to be here. And now we'll get started. Before I jump into this, let me also mention that I brought some DVDs with me that has some of our videos, and I'll be giving those out as a prize if you get a question right. I do have some questions in mind, but if I do run out of questions, I'm still not taking any of them back. And I got five of them, all right? So then after the session is done, if there's any remaining, then I'm just going to move back and say, first come, first serve. Anybody who wants it, just go get it. All right. So let's talk about SharePoint Designer's way of modifying SharePoint list forms. Now, everybody understands what SharePoint list form is, correct? You go to a SharePoint list, like an announcements list, links list, task list, any kind of list, and you click on add new item. Or you click on edit item, or you click on display item. Those are forms that pop up, the three main forms that pop up. So those forms can be modified using SharePoint Designer and using InfoPath. We'll talk about SharePoint Designer first in this case. In SharePoint Designer 2010, when you open up a list in SharePoint Designer, you get a summary page. Within the summary page, you get this section called Forms. This is the one right above Views. So it shows the views, then it shows the forms. And here are the three basic forms that are there, right? You can click on any of them. It will open them up, show you exactly what they look like right now. You can also make new forms by clicking on the new button. All right? And that's what I'm actually going to do and tell you why you should make new forms. So that's the story for SharePoint Designer. You make new forms this way, and then after, of course, you make the form, then you can modify it with whatever you want. One other thing that I'm going to mention before I go to the next slide is SharePoint Designer is really focused for everybody, to anybody except end users. End users have no business in SharePoint Designer. That, I mean, readers and contributors for sites. Those people should not be in SharePoint Designer. Because, you know, end users, what they do, and I'm talking about, like, people who have contribute rights in SharePoint, they are the people who read information and then write information, right, in existing lists and existing libraries. Well, contribution to those lists and libraries and contribution to pages and all that stuff is not done through here anyway. So they have no reason to be in SharePoint Designer. SharePoint Designer, of course, is a free product. Anybody can download it, so you got to be careful that they should not have the rights to be able to open up SharePoint Designer 2010 and hook onto a site and then be able to do some damage. You know, SharePoint Designer is an awesome, awesome tool, but it's a very, very powerful tool. Just like Visual Studio or any other powerful tool, you're going to have issues if you let the wrong people have the tool with the wrong responsibilities. There's a video I have on the site which talks about the restrictions you can put on people. So as a web application administrator, you can restrict people, site collection administrators, of what they can and cannot do with SharePoint Designer. And same thing with site collection administrators. They can restrict site owners and also site designers what they can and cannot do using SharePoint Designer. So definitely look at those kind of settings and be careful of what you allow them to do. Having said that, SharePoint Designer is an awesome tool. Don't get me wrong. It's just that it has to be used by the right kind of people. All right. Next thing. InfoPath. InfoPath is in its third iteration right now. Yeah, 2003, 2007, now it's 2010. And 2010 is definitely by far awesome, great, great tool. It has been ahead of its time since the beginning because in InfoPath 2003, when that came out, I remember it was completely XML-based. So it is right now, too. But that was the only Office application that at least I was aware of that was completely XML-based. XML schema is the one that drove InfoPath. And now everything else has come to be XML-based as well, right? Office 2007 and then Office 2010 now. So it's been ahead of its time. It's been doing great stuff. The main things to be aware of as far as making forms in InfoPath is you have two applications, InfoPath 2010 Form Designer and InfoPath 2010 Form Filler. Form Designer is the one that you use to create the form. So you need just at least one copy of that in the organization to make the form. And by the way, InfoPath, Form Designer, and Filler, they're not free. So they come with Office 2010 Professional Plus, Enterprise, and a bunch of other Office suites, or you can buy it separately. But once you have it, you just need at least one license or Form Designer to be able to make the form. There's no way around that. Once the form is made, for example, let's send a status report form, expense report form, whatever kind of form, usage of this form, that's no problem. Anybody can use it as long as you have SharePoint Server Enterprise running. People can go ahead and use the browser to fill out the form. And if you don't have SharePoint Server Enterprise, you don't have, let's say, SharePoint at all, or you just have SharePoint Foundation, still you can have your users use InfoPath Form Filler 2010. Use that application, which is the other application, to fill out the form. That's also a desktop application that you can deploy to your users. So there's InfoPath Form Designer and InfoPath Form Filler. Two applications. That was not the case before. It was just InfoPath before, just one application. All right. Now, in terms of making stuff in InfoPath, you, of course, first make a visual layout of your form, how it's going to look like, the text boxes, comma boxes, and everything else. And then you can put form logic around it, meaning conditional formatting, data validation, rules for whatever you want to do, actions, things like that. And then lastly, you can have data connections be also made through forms, meaning if you want to get data into the form from a SharePoint list or library, you want to get data into the form from a web service, from a database, all the stuff that I actually talked about before in my other sessions too, that SharePoint Designer can do, meaning be able to get to any kind of data really, that's what InfoPath can do as well. It's just that InfoPath can do it more easily, to be honest. What we're going to be, of course, focusing on is the InfoPath's capability of modifying SharePoint list forms and then be able to do all that stuff in a SharePoint list form. There are two other ways also that SharePoint and InfoPath integrate. And actually, I touch upon all three over here. So first thing, form library forms. If you want to make a form and put it into a form library, which acts very much like a document library, all you need is SharePoint Foundation. That's all you need. I mean, at least that's all you need. And then if that's the case, you, let's say, publish your form into a form library. A user comes in and say, I want to fill out a new form. The InfoPath Form Filler application on their environment will open up. If they don't have InfoBat form filler, then they're just going to get an error saying that, you know what, I can't help you. Just like if you open a Word document, you don't have Word on your machine. So SharePoint Foundation is all that's needed, really, to make form library forms, to fill out forms. SharePoint Foundation and, of course, InfoBat form filler. If you had SharePoint Server Enterprise, and then you had InfoBat client, if you had SharePoint Server Enterprise and if you had InfoBat Form Designer, then you're publishing forms to the form library and people are filling out the forms using the browser. Is that clear or did I confuse you? Hopefully I didn't confuse you. Okay. Second thing over here, InfoBat that could be used for, is modifying workflow forms. And both of these things, actually, I showed in one of my demos yesterday, I believe. You can take workflow forms that SharePoint Designer creates, and you can modify those workflow forms using InfoBat. And this licensing kind of throws some people off, because they think that SharePoint Server Enterprise is needed. That is not true. All you need is SharePoint Server Standard, or Enterprise, of course, but Standard is the minimum, not Enterprise, for this. And lastly, what we're going to talk about today is going to be, or this session, is modifying or creating SharePoint list forms. And for that, you do need SharePoint Server Enterprise. There's no other way around it. You have to have SharePoint Server Enterprise, otherwise, can't do anything about it. And just remember that to make any of these forms on the client machine, you still need InfoBat Form Designer. All right, that is a requirement for anything. To make InfoBat forms, you have to have that. Okay, so this is what it's going to look like when I get to it. In fact, I think this is the last slide that I have. Modifying list forms using InfoBat looks very sharp, looks very easy to do. And what I like personally about InfoBat the most is that, you know, when a form designer comes in, that person is going to feel very comfortable with the environment. That person is going to feel very much at home as to how you can do things in InfoBat. And that's one of the main reasons I believe InfoBat is the tool for this functionality. Okay, this is the last slide. All right. Let me make sure. Yeah. Sorry. I had one more slide I forgot about. This is also an additional feature that we have in 2010, that Microsoft has in 2010, that is a blessing. We didn't have that in 2007. And this is called, this is a web part called InfoBat Form Web Part. So imagine this. You make your form, right? You make your either form library form or your SharePoint list form, whatever. And that form can be encapsulated within a web part, InfoBat Form Web Part, and that can be pushed out on any page you want. All right? Awesome functionality. Something we've been asking for a long time, so I'm glad it's finally here. And I'll try to show all this to you and a whole lot more in this demo, which starts now. There was a question? Yes, that's a very good point. That for InfoBat Form Web Part, which is this one right here, you do need Enterprise. It does not come with anything else. You have to have an Enterprise for that form, for the Form Web Part. Thank you for mentioning that. All right. My watch here, I noticed, is incorrect. Well, of course, it's very incorrect in terms of time zone, but also in terms of the actual minutes, it's wrong, too. So I'm going to keep my other watch here. It's 3:16 p.m. Okay. So first thing I'm going to do is show you a list called a task list. This is the list that we're going to be using, and we're going to be modifying the forms for this list. All right, we're going to stay in here the whole time throughout. And of course, any of you who have used task list, and I'm sure maybe all, hopefully all of you have used it at least one time, it has this typical feels like what type of list item it is, the title, the assigned to, the status, the priority, predecessors, things like that, right? And when you click on the Add New Item link here, here's a form that comes up. This is a default out-of-the-box form. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and add a new item. Task 1, because I am not as creative. 24% for percent complete. Assign to, let's assign it to myself. Put some description in there. Some description. I told you I'm not creative. Okay, due date is going to be, let's say, 10/12/2010, and save, right? That's how you make a new list item and task. Okay, no problem, right? Let me go ahead and delete this for a second, because I want to do something else. All right. Now, I want to modify this task list in SharePoint Designer. That's the first thing we're going to do. So I'll take, first of all, the URL for this site, SPEL/sales. I'll open up SharePoint Designer 2010, which, by the way, if you've not used it before, it's on all programs, and it's under SharePoint. It's not under Office. It's under SharePoint. That's a new location for SharePoint Designer. You open it up, click on Open Site, put in the URL, click on Open. SharePoint site opens up. Great. Next, I'm going to go to Listen Libraries, go to my task list. That's the list that I want to modify. Here we go. All the information that I need about the task list is right here. I'm looking for the forms functionality. So three forms. These are the three default forms that come out of the box. I'll click on, for example, the editform.aspx. Let me get rid of these task panes. We don't need them right now. All right. The web part that is already deployed on this page is called the list form web part. Now, this is one of those web parts which is kind of like a relic from the last version. You know, we had list form web parts everywhere in the last version as well. And those did not work. I mean, they worked great, don't get me wrong. But they did not work great as far as customizing them. You really couldn't do much because at the design time in SharePoint Designer, you can't really see any data. It's not a WYSIWYG kind of a web part. So the new web part that we have now in SharePoint 2010 is called the XSLT List View web part. And I showed that in one of my sessions yesterday, XSLT List View web part. That is a web part that I would like to use because this thing, I really can't do much with it. So the question becomes, what do you do with it? Do you delete it? Delete. It's going to go away if you do that. But there will be some remnants of the actual code in the back end. Okay? It's recommended to not delete this this web part. Just, it's just not a good idea. I'm just going to say that. You can hide it if you wanted to. That will work okay. But you know what? Let's leave it alone. That's the best practice that I've learned the hard way at times. What I'm going to do is I'll go back. By the way, that list form web part is using ASP.NET and is using something called Collaborative Application Markup Language, CAML. And that's why it's so difficult to work with that particular technology. Now what I'm going to do is make a new form that's going to use the XSLT list view web part, and that, or actually it's going to use XSLT data form web part in this case. But that is a functionality, the XSLT functionality that you want to utilize to work with any list library forms, any kind of data forms in SharePoint 2010. So I'll go down here and I'll say, you know what, let me make a new form. New, this form dialog comes up, and I'll say edit tasks. That's the form that I want to make, edit tasks. All right, and I'll make this an edit form. I'll set this as a default form for the selected type, and that should be good for now. Edit tasks.aspx right here. It's a default form, so if I click on it, that's what my users are going to see right now. Notice that there's no fields over here. There's nothing here as well, right? I want to give somebody a DVD for this simple question, I hope, as to why am I not seeing any WYSIWYG view of, you know, my task assigned to and style and this and that. Yes. The list is empty. You're right, absolutely. Something that is not that was not intuitive at all to me about a year and a half ago. Anyway. But yeah, something that I'm like, oh, well, it's not showing up anything. And at least it should show up empty items, but no, it doesn't, unless you have something in the task list. So you go to the task list, you click on Add New Item, and I'm just going to put in task one. Once again, just some non-creative data. Put some description also here, something. And I'll click on Save. And now I'm going to go back to SharePoint Designer and just refresh it, right? So I'll click on this refresh button right here. And notice how this changes. So the gentleman was exactly right over here that, you know what, once you have some data, not that it shows you the data. It doesn't show me the actual data. It shows, just me, shows me the sample data here. But without data, it won't even show me the actual depiction of the form, which makes it very difficult to work with the form, right? Okay. Now that I've passed that hurdle, now what can I do with this form? Let's make this a little bit smaller so I can work in this easily. First thing I'm going to do is just dump in an image file because I want my department logo or I want some kind of image to come up in the form, make it look pretty. Click on Insert, Picture, and I'm going to put my company picture directly here. Alternate text is asking me, and I'm just going to put in SP videos, SharePoint videos. Here it is. Kind of big, so I'll make it smaller. Working with images in SharePoint Designer, by the way, very, very cool. You click on the image, you click on this format tab over here, and it's going to give you a lot of different options of working with the image. This is a whole lot more than we had in 2007. And by the way, you can, of course, modify images in SharePoint pages using the browser, but you'll see that there's a lot more options available here. Making hotspots, making, you know, increasing, lowering contrast, making grayscale and all that other stuff, wrapping style. All right, so that's the first thing. Second thing what I want to do is I want to work with this column information here. Title, predecessors, priority. Let's select all this stuff. And I'm going to make it bold. So here we go. Bold. And because this is just table cells, that's all it is over here. So I'm going to also go to the table, go to shading, and also change this to like light gray. Okay, this is all live preview, by the way, before I commit. Shows me live preview. Here we go. Gray. Somehow this one did not get bolded. Here we go. Okay. Next thing. What I want to do next, in this case, is going to be, I don't need a couple of these fields, so I'm going to delete them. For example, attachments specifically. I don't need the attachment field here, so I'm going to right-click, delete, delete row. Just treat it just like a table. That's all you got to do over here. Now, in the back end of this form, we have the actual data source, which is the XML data source that is driving this stuff. If you want to, excuse me, if you want to see a data source, you go to View, Task Panes, and you click on Data Source Details. And that will give you the task pane on the right, which shows you all different data points that you have available to you. And it will actually show you the data also in this case. So the title, task one, and if I had more records in this list, it would show me a way to navigate towards those records. Okay, the reason I pull this up also is because I'm going to use this data source to insert one of these data points in here. Okay, we're going to enter actually due date. We're going to replace, let's do start date. We're going to replace the start date with what it is right now. We're going to do something different. My business case right now requires me that, you know what, I don't want users to be able to manipulate the start date. I just want it to be, you know, read-only. So I'll click on this, and I'm going to hit delete. It's gone. Now I'll click on start date here in the data point and say, let's insert this formatted as date time. Formatted as date time. It's asking, how do you want it to be shown? Let's change the formatting to show this way. Time, I don't want to see at all. And there we go. Read-only depiction of my start date, right? There's one other way you can do this, by the way, and that is by, let's say, if I go to start due date, I'll show you here. I go here and I can right-click over here and say, show me the properties of this control, of this specific control. Okay, when I see the properties of this specific control, which is right here, the tag properties, there's one here called control mode. Control mode is currently set to edit. And the choices here, you got display, new, edit, or just invalid. I'm going to choose a display here. And now this is going to become just a display field, and it won't be an edit field. Now, when I do these things, I also want you to see and notice the way you're doing these things, the user experience. Because I don't want you to just show you the things. I want you also to be able to understand and see what kind of user experience you're going to have. What does this look like? How about my developer friends? What does it look like, guys and girls? Sorry? True. But what I mean is, like, what other software, I should have said more clearly. What other software does this remind you of, the tag properties and everything else? Sorry? Style sheets? Visual Studio is what I was looking for. Like, you know, developers, Visual Studio, that's what I was going for. It is very much like Visual Studio, right? So developers coming in, oh, yeah, it looks very intuitive, no problem. Administrators of sites coming in here who need to modify a form, what are they going to think? Like, oh, this is too scary. And I've had those people as students in my classes. Like, this is too scary. I don't want to deal with this anymore. This is not my domain anymore, okay? But you definitely do this, of course. You can do so. You have some really powerful functionality available to you. Okay, I made this in display. Let me, go for it. Let me go ahead and save, and I'll take your question. Go ahead. Yeah. Invalid just makes the actual data point not valid. Cool, right? that thing I have not found a good use for, to be honest. But what it does, it just makes it a display field, and it just leaves it as a display field. But I don't know what it's doing at in the back end. It's one of those things where there's so much available here. There's definitely things that are going on that is manipulating through code, and I've just not got a chance to look at exactly what it's doing. But it makes a display field and does something in the back end. Go ahead. That's a good point, where maybe the control itself is not available. Yeah. So maybe what you're saying here is that maybe the control itself is not available anymore for the data extraction, right? The data for that is not available. That's possible. By the way, when I'm saving this right now, it's saying that it's going to save this in a site assets library, which is fine. That's what I want. Click on OK, and here's the site assets library. It's going to put it in there. Okay, let me show you this form. I'll come over here to my task list, and I'm going to click on, first I'll click on Add New Item. And as you would expect, you see the old form, right? Because I did not create a new item form. Let me get out of here. But I'll go to an existing item, and I'll click on Edit Item here. And here we go. Here's my new form. Got the logo, which is stored in the site assets library. It's got priority, percent complete. Everything is there just like it's supposed to be. Notice that the due date, start date, both of them are read-only. This I made using, I just deleted the actual data point, and I put it in using my data source details task pane, input it as a date time control. And the other one, what I just did was I simply made sure that the display properties of that was switched to read-only, or basically text display. Either way, it works fine. This gave me a little bit more options where I could, you know, display the actual data in a different format, or I, you know, remove time and all that stuff. Now, what it does in the back end is just manipulating XSL. So what I've just done right now, you could also do directly in code. That's fine as well. But of course, we are not talking about code here. All the kind of things you can do without code is our motto. In the sessions that I do, at least. Okay, moving on over here. Let's say I have additional need. My additional need right now is, my need over here is to take this status right here, and this status field, I want it to change depending on what the content of the status field is. So if it's not started, that means that, hey, this should be started, look at me. It's gonna be like red, okay? If it's in progress, I want it to be maybe yellow. And if it's done, if it's completed, I want it to be green. So the style properties of this thing I want to change. Here's what I do, and then you'll see what happens. I'll go over here. In SharePoint Designer, if you want to do conditional formatting for anything, for a data view like this, you go to Options, Conditional Formatting, format this particular selection, which is my form field for status. When the condition is status equals not started, which is exactly what I want, set style. And then you can set a style, changing the font, changing blog background, layout of the actual table. Whatever you want to do, you can do. Let me just do something simple and change the background color. Here's the actual style that's going to input. Okay, and watch what happens here. Okay. The form field does not have a public style property. That's what it's saying. So the style property, of course, is there. You know, the styling of the actual control is there. But it's not public, and I'm sure developers here understand what this means. And that just basically is saying that, you know what, it's not exposed in this case. It's not, it's probably private in this case, so it's not, I'm not able to change it through this mechanism in this case. So I'm kind of out of luck in this case, okay? I'm out of luck being able to change the style properties of this control. Let me go back here and save this form. Okay, so that is one of the major limitations, which you can do in here. One is being able to manipulate some of the properties of these controls that are just not available. Second thing is being able to just easily do things in SharePoint Designer. Easily is a relative term. If it's a developer, this is all easy stuff, no problem. If it's a former developer like me who stopped developing about 4 years ago, still it's pretty easy because it's intuitive if you've done stuff in Visual Studio. But trust me, I deal with all kinds of people in my classes, and the people who are considered power users but still have done macros in Excel and have done some really cool stuff but have not dealt with Visual Studio, they get kind of, you know, hesitant going into this thing. So they say, I don't know. This is, and they try, but it's not really comfortable for them. One more thing that I would have hoped, which would be really easy, but it's not, is making a field required. Or making a field, check for a regular expression. Or making a field, let's say, for example, due date, check for if it's in the past, right? Checking a date range in this case. Those kind of things are available. Don't get me wrong. Here's how you would do it. I'm not showing you the whole thing, but here's how you could start to do it. You would go to Insert, ASP.NET Control, and there's validation controls here. You would have to put the specific one that you're looking for example, required field validator, you have to drop it into the form, and then you have to go to the tag properties of the required field validator, and you have to tell it which control should it hook up to, which control to validate. Then you have to tell it that the show error property, that has to be true. Then you have to go and tell it, the message, you got to set the error message yourself, and then there's one more thing that I can't remember right now, but that's not intuitive at all in that case. So being able to do it, absolutely, you can do it. Is it easy to do? No. It's been the same way since SharePoint Designer 2007, and it's the same way right now. So these are the restrictions, but of course, the good thing about SharePoint Designer is it's free. It's completely free, okay? InfoPath is not. Another thing, of course, with SharePoint Designer is that if you modify this form with the way I'm doing right now, and you go ahead and deploy this form, all you need to show this form is SharePoint Foundation. You don't need SharePoint Server licensing. You just need SharePoint Designer, which is free. You need SharePoint Foundation, which is also technically free, because as long as you have Windows Server 2008. Okay, so that's the SharePoint Designer story. I'm going to move to InfoPath after I take a couple of questions, and then we'll come back and also talk about the differences. So go ahead, the gentleman over here, whoever had the question. Yep. That's also difficult in this case. The question over here was, can you change the behavior of these buttons? For example, navigate to another page after it's done saving, or be able to check something, or things like that. It is definitely possible to do, but the way it works here is it's inside, the actual code is in that inside, as I understand it, is inside a server control. So it's difficult to manipulate that information directly here. If I was making a form action button from scratch, that's much easier, but this is not, unfortunately. Another question? Yeah. How do you deploy it? You save it, and it's deployed. I know what you're saying. So you're basically thinking that, okay, how do I make changes to it, and how maybe I take it from environment to environment, something like that, right? Yeah. Yeah. You don't. You don't. This is very much, at least in my mind, and for many years now, the way I've been thinking about it, this is very much like you are creating a list in a SharePoint site. And now answer this question, for example. When you want to make a list, and let's say you want to make a new context list, which doesn't come out of the box, right? You want to make a new context list. Do you go to your development environment first, and then you make a new context list over there, and then you come over to production, and then you make context list over there? I don't know if anybody who does that. Usually people go to the production environment and say, okay, I want to make a new list. Customize the schema and everything else, right? Because it's a very different way of thinking about things. It's a very different way of customizing your sites and your environment, and you're doing it in production. Now, I know some people might not agree with me. I'm sorry. Don't mean to offend anybody, but that's been my thought process, that you know what? There are some things that you can do directly in production, and if you're not 100% sure if this is going to work the right way, you don't want to break anything, which I would definitely understand, do it in a test environment, but in a test site within production somewhere, maybe in your development, but you have to repeat those steps once again in production. There's no easy way to package this. There is one way. You can take a list, you can save it as a template, and then you can take the template from development to production, but chances are that you will probably be making modifications once you already have some data in the list. So if you did that, if you take it from here to production, all your data is going to be gone. Okay, I'll take one more question, whoever was first. Okay, and then I got to move on to, yes, go ahead. Cascading drop downs, kind of basically. Yeah, so that's another thing that's difficult here. I'm not going to say impossible because definitely you can do it. Because, you know, underlying all this stuff is just server controls, XML, XSL, and everything is possible in those things. It's just that you would need to code to make that happen, to make it into like a cascading drop down or a pick list. While doing all these things in InfoPath, very easy, very easy. All right, let me switch to InfoPath so I can show you everything over there, and then I'll take more questions as you guys have it. Okay, so I go to task this once again in my browser. This time I'm going to go to the list tab and click on this customize form button, which will let me bring up the InfoPath environment and automatically attach to making a new form for this list. To make this happen, I need SharePoint Server Enterprise, and also at the client system, I need InfoPath Form Designer 2010. By the way, here's what it looks like when you are at the client machine in Microsoft Office: InfoPath Designer, InfoPath Filler. Designer is what you need in order to make this happen. Okay, so here we go. My form opens up quite simply. I want to do some same kind of changes so I can show you easy comparison from what I did before and what I'm doing right now. I'll say insert, picture, go to my pics folder, and it's got my SharePoint videos right here. Once again, modifying this, of course, is very easy. And I'll put something over here saying that use this form to create new tasks, something like that, okay? Now, I don't like the title over here, so I'm going to move this title field from here to here. If you did that in SharePoint Designer, the field is going to disappear. if you try to move these things for no good explanation, it just disappears. So you need to delete it. You got to recreate it over there. It's just not very intuitive, unfortunately. In here, I'm going to click on this field and say, I want to change the font properties. Let's make bold whatever is going to be in here. Change that to 14 font. From Calibri font, I'm going to change it to something more dynamic. All right. We don't need this title thing anymore, so let's delete it. Right-click, delete. Delete this row. Gone. Simple. And you'll see that a lot of things that I'm doing over here is very, very, or is fairly intuitive, even to people who are looking at it for the first time. Now I'm going to go down to, for example, my description, and I'm going to say, you know what, I want this field to be required. I want it to be required. Here's how simple it is to make that required. Control tools properties cannot be blank. Done. Status field. Remember what I tried to do before in status field? Well, I'm going to try to do that again. In this case, I'll click on this. I'll click on the add rule button, which will let me add a quick rule to this field. And the rule is going to be that if it is equal to some value, which I will define later, go ahead and set the formatting to bad. Okay, and bad in this case is just pink background, red ink, red font. And then you can change it as well. You can modify it. All right, now it's asking me for the value that it needs to look for for it to mark it bad. And that's exactly what I want, not started. How would you know it's not started though, right? There's no pick list over there. But you know what? Here's what you do. You click on the status field. You click on edit choices up above. And it will show you all the different choices that are there in the drop-down, in the actual task list. So you still have to remember it. You got to type it in, unfortunately. But it's still at least there for your reference. Next thing that I want to use is in progress. The one after that is going to be completed. So let me just make a mental note. Now go in here. Click on add rule. once again, that if it's equal to something, go ahead and set it to neutral. And that something in this case is going to be in progress. Lastly, add rule is equal to good, and that's going to be if it's completed. Okay? It just made three rules for me. Very simply, very easily. I can even copy these rules and paste them to some other control if I want the same exact behavior to be there in a different control. Very easy to work with, very intuitive. I feel like I'm selling InfoPath here. But InfoPath is a pretty awesome application in terms of these things. Okay, so that's my status. Next thing that I want to do is this due date. You know, sometimes you make a task and you feel like, man, this task should have been due yesterday, right? Well, that should not be the case. I know things go so fast these days, especially in the United States, that, you know what, everything is just due yesterday. Like, it should have been done already. But that should not be the reality. That should not be the reality. Nobody should be able to make a task for somebody else and say that, oh, yeah, it was due date was yesterday or today or something like that. Maybe today is okay, I guess. What I want to do, when I click on this due date, I'll make a new rule, a new quick rule, and say that if it's in the past, if it's in the past, then show a validation error. If it's in the past, show a validation error. And just like that, now I have a condition here that says due date, if it's less than today, and if due date is not blank, then you're going to throw up an error. Okay? Simple. Let's see what else I can do over here. Got my title box, the title. I think that's, oh yeah, one more thing over here, my font modification. So this is just table cells. You can make it bold, change the table layout, shading, and that was as easy to do in SharePoint Designer as well, by the way, to change, to modify this thing. Okay, I believe I'm all done over here. Let me quickly save it. Actually, I don't even need to save it. If you want to save it, you can save this SharePoint list form template on your box, and it's actually recommended that you do. But you don't have to, it's not a requirement. All you gotta do is click on the file button, click on quick publish, and watch the magic happen. Done. Your form template was published successfully. You go back to your list, no need to even refresh the list or anything because it has a handle to the new form. And if you click on add new item right now, it will just go ahead and pick that new form and show it to you right here. Okay, here it is. Let's make a new task. Task 2. See the bold and the new text over here? Pretty cool, right? All right. Priority, we're going to change it to high. Status, right now showing up as red. I'll change that to in progress. Now it shows up as yellow. Change that to completed. Shows up as green in this case. Percent complete, let's make it 20%, something like that. But then it would not be completed, would it? You never know. Okay, 23%, assigned to, let's assign it to Irene. Description is required, as you can see. So I need to put some description in there, so something, once again, my creativity. Due date, I'm gonna attempt to put a due date in the past. Due date is gonna be the 15th of September. Not good. Enter today's date or a date in the future, it's telling me. Wonderful. Let's go ahead and put a due date, something more practical, which is going to be at least a couple of days from now. I am done. Let me save it. And here's my modified form. All right. Now, I have some more stuff, but I know that you have a question, so go for it.
In some cases, you will want to show an error when the due date is in the past and block them from actually saving the new form. But in other cases, you will want to give a warning but let them continue afterwards.
Absolutely. So the question here is that, aside from, and I'm going to change your words a little bit. Just stop me if I'm saying something that you didn't mean to say. So what he's saying is if you had a reason to change the actual behavior, so it's not really a validation error, but it's maybe a different kind of formatting that appears, or maybe a warning appears, some kind of text maybe, or some kind of indication that, hey, you know what, this might not be the best way. The best data that you're selecting over here. But still, I'll let you go, just so you know, that's not what you should be putting into the system. Is that right? Okay. Yeah, so then what you would do is use conditional formatting in that case. Maybe you make that thing red or purple or whatever you want. That's one thing. Second, another thing that you can do is maybe you can have some text in maybe a section somewhere, and then you can hide that section. You can hide that section and show it only if certain condition is true. In this case, if it's in the past. So there's a lot of cool stuff like that you can do in InfoPath, and you can do it fairly simply as well. Okay. I want to ask you guys a question now, because I have these four DVDs still sitting over here, and they're kind of bothering me. All right. Here's the thing. I want to show this form, the one that I just created right now, the Add New Item form, right? I want to show this form, but I want to show it on a different page somewhere. I don't want to show it here. How would I do it? Yes. So which web part would I use? InfoPath form web part. And which licensing would I need for that? Two-part question. Enterprise licensing. Wonderful. Here we go.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so you need InfoPath. You need SharePoint Server Enterprise, which comes with a component called Forms Server. And Forms Server is going to be the one that's required to show the form, first of all, in the browser. And then also, SharePoint Server Enterprise will give you an additional web part called the InfoPath form web part that you can use to show this in your browser. Let me go ahead and show that to you how that works in this case. Was that the next thing that I was going to do? Yeah. I'll go to SharePoint Designer. Here's what I'm going to do. I'll make it something which is going to be even cooler than putting it on a new page. I'll just put it on the same page over here. Okay, so in this same page that I have, the All Tasks page in this case, is viewable by going to the task list in SharePoint Designer and going to the All Tasks view. That's the default view for the task list. If I go here, with the page that's going to come up right now, this is my default view for the task list. Here we go. And this is showing that this is an XSLT list view web part that is there automatically and is showing all the task information, right? I'm going to go to the bottom of this form, just put maybe a space in here. And in here, I'm going to say, let's insert a web part using SharePoint Designer now. And I'm going to look for InfoPath form web part. If you don't see it, that means you're not running SharePoint Server Enterprise, basically. If you do see it, great, use it. Because once you have this available to you, then you can tell it, if you want, you can tell it to go ahead and consume one specific view of the form, or you can go ahead and tell it to connect to another, like a list, like a task list, for example, and have that supply you the form, have that give you the form. And that's what I'm going to do. I'll go up over here in my first web part up above. Doesn't matter where I click. But in here, I'm going to make a connection from this web part to the one below. Add connection. Send a row of data from my task list web part. Yes, that's what I want to do. Connect to a web part on this page. Yes, that's what I want to do. Next, InfoPath form web part. That's exactly what I want to connect to, which is right here. But the target action in this case is going to be not get the data from, but get the form from. Get the form from that. Well, actually, make a new, I should say, the InfoPath form web part should show a form that's getting the data from the task list in this case. So I'll click on Next and Finish. Now, SharePoint Designer is a WYSIWYG tool. What you see is what you get, right? And design time, whatever you do, is what you see at runtime. But there's some exceptions. This is one of those exceptions. You don't see what you're going to be seeing in the browser in this case. I know I've made the connection, so I'm just going to go ahead and save it now. I'll get back out to my task list. I'll refresh or just re-navigate to my task list and see what happens. Here it is. Okay, it's showing the task one right now. And if I click on this select button over here, or select link over here for task two, it now shows me task two. Good stuff, right? Be able to manipulate that easily using InfoPath. That's brand new in 2010. You can do some really, really good things with that. Now, I'm going to show you one more thing that's challenging here, something that is, once again, not intuitive, but once you get a hang of it, it's very easy to do. But this is going to be definitely a DVD question because it's a hard one. So get ready. Okay, I go to task list, and I say I want to make a new item. Easy enough, this form comes up, and I make new stuff. I want to see the form, it comes up right here, great. I go to any of these list items here, and I click on edit item. Once again, this form pops up. Then I say to myself, you know what? What if I wanted different values to appear in my edit form? What if I wanted different values to appear in my new item form? And what if I wanted different values or different objects to appear in my display form? So I have three different forms that I could manipulate, but right now, it's really masking all of them, and it's showing me the same exact form that I've used, that I've created, for all these three scenarios: edit form, new form, and display form. And by the way, display form is gotten to by clicking on the actual form, opens up here, and so forth, right? That's not what I want. What I really want is three different forms. So anybody know, and I know this is a hard one, but anybody know how to make that happen? Okay, hand over here, yeah. Copy them and change the mode. Mode where? Designer properties? No, but that's a good guess. Okay, I think you're actually close about the changing the change the view in that case. So you do make views of the form. What else do you do after that? How about we start here? Yeah. These are awesome ideas, by the way. See, conditional formatting to make the form. You know what? That might actually work if you do that, but that's not the proper way, the recommended way of doing it. But that's a very good guess. I appreciate that. You have a question? Oh, yeah. Oh, something. Something there? Edit what now? Okay, you are very, very close in this case. You are very, very close. It's not in SharePoint Designer that you edit them, but you do edit the pages somewhere, somehow, to do something in this case. So vague, right? So vague. What's the DVD question? Of course, come on. Anybody else want to guess? Yeah? Well, let's guess. One more time? So you go InfoPad Designer, you're saying, and then? Okay. So you're on the right path, by the way, and that's what you were kind of saying before as well, making an interview. So what were you saying right now? Site administration? No, not in this case. Let me go ahead and show you. So I get the DVD. Awesome. Just kidding. No. How about if I ask a little bit easier question, and then I'll show you how to do that. So something related to what I just asked right now. When I have made these new forms, the InfoPath form right now, anybody know what the extension of the form is? How about that? The extension, the dot what? So, not XSN is an awesome guess, but that is not true in this case. XSN is a form template for InfoPath. That's almost always true. Not ASPX, that's the original extension for SharePoint Designer forms. There's one something, yeah. What was that? Not Camel, because it's not Camel at all. Oh, I'm sorry, this is a hard question too. I apologize. I thought it was going to be a little bit easier. Yeah. No. Yeah. XHTML. Great idea. No, but it's not. Not SST. No, no. Nobody knows? So, what was that? Not dot web part either. Damn it. No. Man, these are really, really good answers, but I'm sorry, they're not what the real answer is. Okay. So I'll think of another good question later. When you go to a task list, and you're looking at the task list right here, right? I'm going to go ahead and refresh. Oh. Who said ASPX, by the way? Because I forgot something myself that I wanted to mention, and yeah, I said it incorrectly. Who said ASPX? Okay, you get the DVD, because I messed up completely in this case. This is for Stumping the Instructor DVD. Yeah, what I actually wanted to mention was not the extension, but the supplemented name scheme over here, which is not, so extension remains ASPX, which you were right. There's an IFS that gets added to the actual display, to the actual name of the form. Anybody want to guess what that is for just honor points? InfoPath Form Services. InfoPath Form Services is what it stands for. Okay, let's move on over here. So InfoPath Form Services, what it did, it made these new forms for me. But how do I tell it exactly which form to pull up, which view to pull up when I'm making a new item or editing an existing item, so forth? First, I'm going to go to InfoPath, and just like the gentleman over here said, that I'm going to make a new view of this form. So this view that I have right now is a great view, but I want to show this view only when people are editing, let's say, the item. I'll go to Page Design and say, let's make a new view. And new view name here is going to be New Item. Okay? New Item. So here's my new view. This, of course, is starting from blank, but all you have to do to add something to it is just drag and drop these fields in here. That's the hard way of doing it. If you want the other form, this view to be very similar but a little bit different than the other one, here's an easier way. You flip to the old view, which is the default edit item view. You just say copy-paste, Control-A, Control-C, copy everything, go to the new item, Control-A, Control-V. Just like that, now your new view is populated with all the fields the way it was. But I'm going to make some simple modification here just so you can tell which form it is. This is the new item form. And of course, then you can make whatever kind of modifications you want to make over here, but I'm making something simple. Just so you know, this is a new item form now. And I'm going to go ahead and republish this back using this really, really small icon. But that's not going to be all, though. Once you have done that, there's one additional step that you got to do. This is the hard one. This is the one that's not very intuitive in this case. Okay, so if I, at this point in time, click on Add New Item, I see that the Edit Item form is the one that, or Edit Item View is the one that pops up, but I can change the view from here, Edit Item to New Item. And now it shows me the New Item form, right? The New Item View. If you tell your users that, okay, yeah, click on Edit or New, and then you go ahead and switch your user views, they won't like that, right? No, they won't like that. So you need to control that yourself as form designer. How would you do it? Anybody know for sure how would you do it? Meaning like for sure, because if you do it, huh? Not from InfoPath in this case. If somebody knows for sure, then I'll take your answer. Otherwise, I'll move on. Sorry? Well, if you set the default to yes, then it's always going to be that new form that's going to come up, right? What I want right now is that when somebody clicks on the actual item and says, I want to edit the item, come on, this should be the edit item form, which is this right here. But if they click on add new item, then automatically the new item form view that I just created should come up. Let me show you how that works, all right? I'm going to go to the list tab, go to this small button here says modify form web parts. And this tells me right now that I have the three default forms that were there before. They're still there. But it made three new forms for me. And these forms, by the way, were specific to the task content type. Task content type. Because everything is a task. And here, of course, this is the one that comes up every time. So here I say to myself, that what about if I go to the new form for task content type, and that shows me the new form, which, by the way, is just a web part. It's an InfoPath form web part that's been made for me automatically. And as you know, with web parts, you can always modify the properties of the web part, right? So I'm going to say, yeah, let's go ahead and edit this web part. You see it now? Right? So now it shows me, okay, you have two views for this form. Which one would you like to show? I'll switch it to new item. Click on OK. Here's my new item form view. I'll click on stop editing or save. And now back in task list, which is what I am right now, if I click on a item, click on edit item, it shows me the edit item form, which is my default, right? Actually, it says the wrong thing, by the way. It says use this form to create new tasks. Anyway, you get the point, right? It's supposed to do. Yes, I want to close this form. And now I'm going to click on add new item. And here we go. This is a new item form. Okay? So far, so good? How about another chance at DVD question? After I take the question, go ahead. That was going to be my question. You took my question. Okay, so the question that he is asking to everybody else, and whoever answers, including you, will get a DVD, is how do I, and this is what I'm thinking you're asking, is how do I remove this thing, right? Is that what you're asking? Okay. How do I remove this thing? I don't want them to see this current view so they can go ahead and change this thing. Yeah, that's the same kind of question that appears usually, you know, when I talk about this functionality. How do I remove this thing? This doesn't make any sense. Yeah. So disable. Can you show me how do I do it? How about anybody who walked me through how to do it? How about this? I'll give you a heads up. I'm going to give you a step up here. It's going to be done in InfoPath somewhere. Within InfoPath, you have to go ahead and somehow hide that. Go ahead, and then what? Take a guess. Not read only. How about something else? Something else? Okay, so do not show on the view menu when filling out the form. Great answer. Thank you. That's exactly it. Let me go ahead and publish this and give you this DVD. Excellent.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. We facilitated to get the right answer, right? Doesn't matter how we get it. Okay. So now if I go back to my task list, click on Add New Item, that thing is gone. Wonderful. It's a great question. Thank you. That's exactly the question I was going to ask, and thank you for the answer. Okay. One more thing I want to talk about, and then, of course, we can take we can do more questions here, is the reason and the need for both of these ways, right? you know what? There's one thing that's wrong in here. This is what I was getting confused with myself. Let me go ahead and delete this thing. That's wrong. Okay. The differences between the two. First, in SharePoint Designer, when you do it, it does require some technical acumen, some technical capability for you to be able to make these list form modifications. Now, it has great power, but just like Visual Studio, which also has great power, it has some complexity to it. But it's free. SharePoint Designer is free and only requires SharePoint Foundation for you to be able to create and modify these forms, right? As far as InfoPath is concerned, InfoPath is an awesome tool. This is the way to go. It is recommended by Microsoft to do any electronic form generation or manipulation using InfoPath, but it's not free. And my talks with InfoPath team also tell me that there's no plans right now to make it free either, at least as of now. So you do have to spend money for InfoPath, and then, of course, SharePoint Server Enterprise is required for you to make those modifications. Okay, so there's licensing costs over here. As far as end users are concerned, InfoPath is the way to go. As far as InfoPath end users are concerned, InfoPath, and when I say end users in this case, I mean SharePoint administrators, site owners, designers. They should be using InfoPath as much as possible to make these changes because SharePoint Designer is much more complex to make those changes. Okay. Otherwise, both of them have the same kind of power. It's just that the usability is very different. Okay. Want to just wrap up here, and then I'll take your questions. Once again, as I mentioned before, there's quite a few free videos out there on I didn't mention that, actually. There's quite a few free videos out there on SharePointVideos.com. You want to go ahead and watch those things, you're welcome to. There's a couple of dozen. There's also subscription plans that we have as well. So if you want more information about it, let me know. We have Critical Path classes. I teach a SharePoint Designer course, which has InfoPath components and SharePoint Designer for 5 days. So if you have any information about that, let me know. And, you know, also what we do is we have free webinars that I conduct every 3 or 4 weeks. And then I have guest speakers come in. It's completely free. And then the recording of those webinars go on our site as well. If you want to be notified about those things, sign up for the newsletter. I promise I don't send junk out in the newsletter. And it's not, your email is secured with us. We don't give it to anybody else. And once again, this is the last session. So I am very happy, first of all, to be done, and second of all, that enough people were able to attend and motivate me to be able to present. I love it when there's a big crowd, dare to listen. And if you have any feedback, positive or constructive, I would love it if you give it to us in the survey. So thank you very much. I appreciate it.